Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus firstly on South Africa's inflation data for the month of December. The numbers surprised firmly to the downside, and I think that has opened a window of opportunity for the Saving and Reserve Bank to continue to cut interest rates, and we're certainly hoping for a 25 basis points cut this week. The other topic is obviously the flurry of executive orders from President Trump, a huge array of orders issued over the last, the first 5 days of his term back in office. We'll try and unpack some of that. There's too much detail to do within this podcast, but I'll try and highlight what I think are some of the key initiatives and what he's trying to achieve with that. Last week's Statistics South Africa released South Africa's inflation data for the month of December, and it surprised on the downside. And I think for the last 2 or 3 months, that's been the pattern. During the month, the CPI went up only 0.1%. That was below market expectations. We were looking for an increase of around 0.3%. So it pushed up the annual rate of increase in inflation from 2.9 to 3%. But 3% is a very decent outcome for South Africa, and certainly at the bottom end of South Africa's inflation target. If we look at the various components of inflation, there was very little evidence of inflationary pressure. The only significant contribution came from petrol price, which went up, as we know, during the month, and that contributed 0.1%. to the monthly increase. Outside of that, there were very few changes. If I look at some of the key categories we've been watching, food inflation, that remains well under control. Very little sign of food inflationary pressure in South Africa, with food inflation now at 1.7% year on year. The other area that I think surprised on the downside was South Africa's the cost of housing in South Africa, what's called rental inflation. For actual rentals, that went up 2.8% year on year. That's very low. And if we consider that rental inflation in South Africa is the single biggest component of the inflation basket, then to keep that number below 3% helps enormously to keep South Africa's inflation rate overall well under control. Yes, we did have the usual increases that we've come to know in terms of electricity, water, education, medical aid. Those numbers remain quite high, and I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. But there are equally also some categories where inflation in South Africa is incredibly low. If you think about appliances, the inflation rate's minus 2.9%. If you look at clothing, that sits at 1.7%. Footwear, that's at 1.8%. There are a lot of categories are in the retail space where there isn't any inflationary pressure, and that's despite the two-pot spending that took place in the final quarter last year and obviously Black Friday. So I would say that outside of some of the services like electricity, water, medical aid, etc., there's very little inflationary pressure in this country. So for the moment, inflation well under control, and what we're hoping is that will encourage the Reserve Bank to cut interest rates again. They've got a meeting this Thursday. We're hoping for a 25 basis points cut in the repo rate. That'll take the repo rate down to 7.5%, and the Reserve Bank has indicated that for them, the neutral interest rate sits at 7.25%. I would suggest, given that inflation's already under control and expected to remain under control in the first half of this year, there must be an opportunity for them to cut again later in the year. So I'm expecting that by the time we get to the middle of this year, we'll have the repo rate down at the neutral rate, 7.25%. Then I guess it's fair for the Reserve Bank to argue that interest rates need to remain unchanged, as there are a number of risks. One of those could be changes in import tariffs imposed by President Trump, or an impact on the currency, or many other numerous events. So I think the Reserve Bank will remain cautious in their approach to inflation. They clearly want to get inflation anchored at least at the midpoint of the inflation target, or ideally a bit lower than that. And so I don't think the Reserve Bank is about to embark on a more aggressive interest rate cutting cycle. But given how subdued our inflation data is at the moment and expected to remain subdued over the coming months, I think there's a good argument for them to continue to cut interest rates and then evaluate as the year unfolds whether or not that is the appropriate interest rate. Last week, the big story was the inauguration of President Trump and the flurry of executive orders that he signed immediately after being inaugurated and then over the next 4 or 5 days. So in total, during the course of last week, he signed 36 executive orders, 4 proclamations and 14 memorandums. In addition, one of his executive orders reversed 78 executive orders that had been signed by President Biden. So he's not just implementing his own policy changes, but he's also reversing some of the policy initiatives that the previous president had put in place. So what is the main thrust of his executive orders? I think they fall into about 5 or 6 different categories. I can't go through them in a huge amount of detail, but I'll just touch on them. Firstly, on tariffs, he hasn't done as much as what many people envisaged, certainly not as much as he was talking about before he took office. He has issued a memorandum regarding tariffs requiring various government departments to look at the fairness of the tariff and trade system, but he hasn't actually implemented any substantial increase in tariffs. So we are assuming that he is using it as a negotiating tool and as a threat. He has suggested that he will impose 25% duties on Mexico and Canada from the 1st of February and some duties on China from the same date, but we'll have to wait and see whether that actually transpires or whether he's simply looking to get those parties around the table and negotiate some other agreement. In terms of the energy and environment, he's done a lot. He declared an emergency within the energy sector, which has never happened before in the United States. And what that does is allows him to circumvent a whole lot of environmental rules. And by circumventing the environmental rules, he will allow for more exploration of oil and gas within areas such as the Alaska wilderness. So this is a president that is actively trying to boost oil production, and some of that will be for the export market in an attempt to lower the oil price further. He's done a huge amount on border and immigration control, effectively closing the border between US and Mexico for migrant crossings, and he suspended a whole lot of admission programs, making it very difficult for people to cross the southern border. He's also reversed a lot of the diversity and inclusion initiatives, too many to mention here, but essentially he's pushing back against the whole affirmative action program that has been underway in the United States for many years. And then lastly, he's focused on the federal workforce. He's imposed a hiring freeze for government employment within the federal system, and he's also looking to restructure that, which I think means that over time they'll be looking to reduce the cost of federal employment. In terms of some of the technology, he's clearly supporting blockchain, he's supporting artificial intelligence, he extended TikTok's license for another 75 days. So a whole range of initiatives, and what we're going to be working out over the coming weeks is what impact does this have on the US economy and then on the broader global economic environment. So far, I would say there are 2 areas we're focusing on from our perspective. The one is the energy sector, because clearly that's going to boost US economic activity. It will boost oil production, but also equally, it should result in a lower oil price, and already the oil price has come off. That's beneficial for the world economy and certainly beneficial from an inflation perspective. The other area we're focusing on is the control on immigration, simply because the US has relied enormously on immigration in order to supplement the workforce. If you are too effective in cutting back on immigration, you may find that the US labor market starts to deteriorate as a consequence, and you find that wages get bid up because there's a short supply of various categories of workers. That would be harmful for inflation and certainly harmful for the Federal Reserve's efforts to get inflation back down to the 2% level, which may force them ultimately to at least keep interest rates unchanged or potentially even consider hiking interest rates. The rest of it, I think, is much more specific to the United States and areas we'll focus and try and understand, and certainly the developments in the technology space and the focus on cryptocurrencies is interesting, and I think we need to pay careful attention. So we will continue to evaluate all of these initiatives over the coming weeks and try and work out whether or not that is net positive or net negative for the world economy, and whether it results in some form of retaliation by other major economies, including China. So far, of course, South Africa hasn't yet been mentioned from a trade perspective, but that remains a possibility given our membership of BRICS. And it wouldn't surprise us is at some time he does focus on the BRICS system and the BRICS desire to develop a currency of their own. That may force him to impose various types of restrictions, including tariffs, and then it will be interesting to see how the BRICS respond to that. South Africa can ill afford to be excluded from one of the major markets in the world. So a lot to focus on, a lot to unpack. Initially, a huge flurry of executive orders. I think it will slow down to some extent, but I am expecting more orders to be announced over the coming weeks. And as we go along, we'll try and evaluate what sort of impact they're likely to have and whether it's something we need to pay very careful attention to or whether it's something that's really much more specific to the United States. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.